The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, or maybe today I should say I'm Dr. O'Brien Kvitko. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. And I'm sure that everybody went to bed early last night just so that they could get up to hear this show. Thank you for that. Actually, today's topic is simple. We're going to talk about, everything that our teeth and gums and smile do for us. Actually, I think that we tend to take our teeth for granted, and you might kind of expect that from a dentist, but let's go in and talk about it anyway. The most obvious thing that I think our teeth allow us to do is to chew. That's probably the first thing that comes to mind. Chewing seems to be a necessity of life, and it seems like, for whatever reason, science hasn't been able to replace chewing. I mean, I think we've probably wondered when they're going to come out with a pill that we just take and we don't even have to bother eating. But for some reason, our body has that need to chew. Now, while people that are toothless and don't wear dentures can survive, they tend not to be as healthy as those who have a full complement of teeth. Teeth allow us to eat foods like fresh fruits and vegetables, including corn on the cob and nuts and whole grain breads and bagels, lean meats of our choice. People with no teeth, and by the way, doesn't that sound like a list of something you would hear from a nutritionist or somebody who is touting some kind of a special diet to make you healthy? However, a person with no teeth, they're oftentimes relegated to eating foods like pastas that have a lot of starch, soups, mashed potatoes, soft white bread, peanut butter, things like that. And while there's nothing wrong with those foods, they don't make up the healthiest diet. The longer a person's missing teeth, the less bone that they have in both their arches, and we're going to talk about some of the effects of that or why. Now, and then also, our teeth allow us to speak properly. They allow us to smile, which ultimately allows us to interact and have that sex appeal that we all want. And so, let's go back to the, and when I go to, and I talk to kids in schools, usually third graders, we talk about this, and it's one of those things that seems to be something that we just kind of don't think about. We take for granted. We brush, we don't brush. What's the big deal? Now, everything today or everything this weekend is green, right? Green beer, green river in the Chicago River in Chicago. Green teeth, not so good. We probably wouldn't have much sex appeal if we had green teeth. Now, as far as the chewing, the ability to chew. And we talked a little bit, or I got into a little bit about teeth maintaining the bone. I don't know if people realize this, but every time you close your mouth, every time you use your teeth, that gentle stimulation of the teeth in the bone causes the bone to stay solid. It maintains the bone. You take a tooth out, the bone dips down. And anybody that's lost a tooth can look in their mouth or feel with their tongue that there's this little divot there where the tooth used to be. Something you don't necessarily realize is if you have an upper tooth removed, that you get the sinus cavity, your maxillary sinus, nasal sinus, they will enlarge because the pressure in the sinus cavity gradually pushes down on the bone, and pressure on bone causes it to resorb. And that's why many people who have been faced with trying to figure out how to replace these teeth, these missing teeth, many of you out there have been told by your dentist or your oral surgeon, you're going to need a sinus lift surgery, because if you want to have an implant, you have to have enough bone to put it in, and if you lose your teeth, then the sinuses just get bigger. It's called pneumatization of the sinus. So the other thing is on the lower arch, as the bone resorbs, There's a nerve down there called the mental nerve, which is the one that serves your lower lip, and it's encased in a canal normally, but after you lose your teeth, the bone resorbs, as we just talked. It gets lower and lower until eventually the encasing of this nerve becomes is removed by the body until now you have this kind of exposed nerve just under the gum tissue. These people who have that situation and maybe try to wear a denture, they can't because every time they put the denture in, it touches the tissue, which then pushes on this nerve. Now, you know, teeth are important as far as our ability to chew, and I think it's, what's the word I'm looking for, illustrated in the animal kingdom. Elephants get 4 sets of teeth in their lifetime, and there's some thought among zoologists that if elephants had more sets of teeth, they would live longer, because essentially what happens is when they wear through their last set of teeth, they pass away. They don't live much longer. Also, teeth are important in the animal kingdom in this sense. Tigers, lions, the dominant male needs to be able to be dominant. And there have been instances where a tiger broke his upper front cuspid, that fang that you all think of as a tiger, would be broken, and that then limits his ability to dominate. And so there have been instances where veterinary dentists have put a gold cap on a cuspid like that that had been broken, and it allows the tiger then to reassert himself and interact as was intended. So that's the chewing part. Now, the next thing would be speaking properly. And something that some of you with hangovers may not be able to do so well yet this morning. But, you know, we forget that in order to say certain words, your teeth and lips and tongue have to come together in a certain way. And it's what we are taught when we're very, very little, how to say the certain sounds. It's also why people from other countries, when they learn English, will say words differently than we are taught here in this country, because they weren't taught how to position their tongue and lips to make that certain sound when they were small. People of Oriental descent will say certain sounds a certain way, and people of Spanish descent will say certain sounds a different way. We understand what they're saying, but they're it's different from what we would say, and also there's kind of like this uniform difference, if you know what I mean. All right, so then, you know, what happens then if we lose our teeth? We can't speak. If we lose them all, of course, it's very, very hard to make out what a person who is toothless is trying to say. Of course, that's an extreme, but let's talk about somebody who just simply has, they've allowed themselves to get gum disease. They now have, their front teeth are starting to spread apart, kind of fan out forward. That's an indicator of periodontal disease. And so now they have this big space between their 2 front teeth, or maybe all of their front 6 teeth, and air escapes. When a person says the word V's, the TH sound, and you can do this at home, your tongue goes back behind your front teeth, and it goes a certain distance behind the front teeth, and it makes the TH sound. If instead that tooth had been moved back and you would try to say the word these, you'd wind up saying these. So instead of saying these, them, and those, you'd say these, them, and those. And it's hard to take somebody seriously who can't pronounce their sounds. For example, I don't think somebody who couldn't say those 3 words would ever get a job on the evening news, broadcasting the evening news as an anchor. The other thing is smiling, our ability to smile. Now, as I mentioned, you know, that gives us the ability to interact and have that sex appeal that we want. Let's face it, the first thing that comes, people see when we walk into a room is our smile. What they're also going to see, if you're not happy with your smile, is that you're not smiling. And so they're going to look at you and think, I don't know, maybe that person's shy, maybe that person is conceited, maybe they think they're better than I am. I'm not sure why, but they're not making eye contact, so I guess they don't want me to come up and talk to them. And of course, you know, the green teeth would not be good. Now, in in this society that we live in, we are very much attracted to attractive people. I mean, there have been studies, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later, but when somebody has a pleasant smile, we like it. We like talking to them. We like looking at them. And in fact, if a person has a nice smile, we will give them the benefit of the doubt on some other things that maybe aren't so great. So, for example, and you hear a lot about plastic surgery these days, and there are shows about it on television, and, you know, I would like to maintain, or I like to maintain, that it doesn't matter what somebody has done, if they have a tummy tuck, if they have a facelift, if they have, breast augmentation, if they have Botox. They can do all of that, and if they have Billy Bob teeth, none of it matters. I mean, think about that. It really doesn't matter. If somebody has Billy Bob teeth, you can't get past that. It's very difficult. Now, when I mentioned how society will give us the benefit of the doubt if we have a pretty smile, think of some people that you can think of. I know one comes to mind is Oprah. Oprah's loved by just about everybody. Oprah's not a skinny rail. She's gone up and down, but more often than not, her weight isn't what she'd like it to be, but she has this great smile and pretty face. Kirstie Alley, even before she, you know, as she'd gotten heavy and did the Jenny Craig thing, she has a very pleasant smile and a pretty face. And the other thing is, locally here in Columbus, lately there have been a lot of commercials for this procedure, kind of a facelift that's done quickly. Probably all know what I'm talking about. And when you see those, look at the before picture. They're not smiling, showing teeth. But in the after picture, big, bright smile, beautiful teeth. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about how people do react to others and how the importance of a beautiful smile will affect your life in a lot of ways that you hadn't even thought of. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230. I'm Dr. Brian Kvitko. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I'm Dr. Kvitko. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We're talking about the value of teeth. We're talking about how teeth help us chew and to speak properly and to smile. And we're talking a little bit also about how society tends to value attractive people. There have been studies that have pointed out how even when you take young children and do these little tests, you find that they respond better to attractive people. We're also talking about, right before the break, about how this procedure for doing a quick type of a facelift, the before pictures always have the people with their mouth together, and the after pictures always have them smiling greatly, and they always have beautiful smiles. And I'm not saying the lift procedure isn't helping them and making them look much better, but what I'm saying is if they had only had the lift and they still had ugly teeth, it would not have nearly the impact. In fact, it may not have any impact on their actual ability to interact, to find a mate. Let's go back to those studies. I was watching one of those news magazine shows on television, you know what I'm talking about, like a 60 Minutes or a Dateline. And they had, they took a group of kindergartners, and they said that we're trying to decide which teacher we would like to have at our school, and each one is going to come in and teach you for an hour, and then we're going to ask you questions afterwards. So what they did was they had this teacher come in and teach a lesson, and then they had another teacher come in and teach a lesson, and they asked the children. Well, the children didn't know this, but one of the teachers was not a teacher at all. She was a model. Very pretty. Nice person, but not a teacher. The other one was a teacher, and she was also very pretty, just not a model. And after the little experiment was over and they asked the children to rate the teacher, they rated the model as smarter, as a better teacher, as nicer. In every category that they were asked to rate the two, they chose the model. There was also a study out that I heard where someone looked into the notion that, it's hard to say these two words together, but ugly babies, because of course nobody thinks their baby is ugly. But let's face it, there are some that are a little more attractive when they first are born, and where actually ugly babies were left to cry longer than those cute babies. And this is obviously something that's done subconsciously. And then one more that comes to mind is they did a study about, they asked women, several women, they said, rate your ideal guy. Just tell us what your ideal guy is. And they rated things like, you know, had to be funny and had to be kind of good looking and successful, a conversationalist, you know, that sort of thing, easy to talk to. They listed whatever they wanted. And so then what the producers did is they took this actor who was then going to play the role of this very successful, witty, conversationalist type guy who was attractive and who happened to be something like 4'10". And they set him up, they brought him to them in a limousine, you know, to show that he was a successful business guy. And after meeting him and talking to him, they then asked the women, you know, in private, if they would consider going on a date with him. And none of them would. Even though none of them had mentioned height, none of them would. Because he was, full half foot or a foot shorter than them. So, and this was something that they couldn't help. It's not something they sat out to say, I'm going to discriminate against short people. It's just kind of in our makeup. And so if we can accept that, if we understand that people are going to respond to us in ways that they can't control, that we know they're going to respond to us in a more positive way if we have an attractive look. Oh, and also keep in mind, you know, healthy teeth. Doesn't matter how pretty your teeth are if you have bad breath. You know, if you smell when they get close to you. Especially at that first meeting, because, you know, you've heard the old saying, who wants to kiss an ashtray? And I'm not even talking about smokers. I'm talking about just in general. Someone who hasn't taken good care of their teeth will have plaque and tartar and bacteria and all of those things then that become attached to the teeth. And again, it's kind of gross to think about, but if you haven't been brushing and flossing, you have little pieces of food. You have like yesterday's lunch still in there, part of it. And we all know that decaying, rotting food, decaying, rotting meat does not smell so good. Not something you would want to kiss. So, you know, keep that in mind. Even attractive teeth, even beautifully white, perfect teeth and smile will maybe get the girl or the guy to come across the room and want to say hello, but if they get within a few feet of you and they smell your breath, they might keep going or they might leave before you ever get a chance to let them know, you know, what a wonderful person you are. So, what makes a smile? What is the perfect smile? I mean, we all know that models have a certain look, and we can't really put our finger on it, other than we can spot one when we see one. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what makes a smile a perfect smile. And also, you know what, it doesn't have to be perfect, but obviously you can't have crooked teeth, you can't have red bleeding gums, or gums that are obviously red and might bleed if you touch them. You can't have missing teeth. You can't have obvious cavities, brown fillings. You know, front teeth, we do fillings in the front teeth that are tooth-colored, and we do them tooth-colored because nobody wants silver fillings in a front tooth, right? But then what happens is people they don't replace them periodically like they should, and they look like cavities. So you know what? There are several more things that go into having, that aren't so nice. So we talked about the brown fillings, we talked about missing teeth, crooked teeth, bleeding gums, gaps between your teeth. And a lot of people are born with that gap between their two front teeth. It's called a diastema. That's, you might say, well, that's my trademark, and there are a few famous people that have that. But in every instance where I've closed that gap for a person, they wish they'd done it years ago. You know, and a lot of those people, they'll refer to people like David Letterman or Lauren Hutton, you know, and I'm not saying that that holds people back necessarily, but it does and can go a long way to detracting from a person's smile. I got a little distracted. I wanted to tell the story about those brown fillings, the tooth-colored ones. My wife and I were in a bowling league several years ago, and we were bowling with our neighbors. And my wife said to me on the way home, she goes, you know, how come Pat doesn't have you fix her front teeth? She knows that you're a dentist and she's got all these cavities in her front teeth. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, she's got all these brown spots. And I said, well, those aren't cavities. Those are fillings. Those are discolored, tooth-colored fillings. And she goes, well, they look like cavities. And, you know, and here you go. Here's a dentist's wife who didn't even realize that these are fillings. How would the average person on the street realize that they are fillings that have turned brown? So for those of you that are walking around with those brown fillings, you know, think about that. You're the only one that knows they're fillings. To everybody else, they think they're cavities, and they wonder. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what do we do to correct that, and your comments are welcome. 821-1230. Any questions you have or any comments, please feel free to call in. You can email us questions at dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. Thanks for tuning in on this St. Patrick's Day. If you haven't already done so, make sure you go to the restroom, the bathroom, and go brush off that green beer and any other green desserts that you may have had last evening. Because what we're talking about is teeth and basically sex appeal and having a pretty smile and the values of that. And before the break, we were talking about the kinds of things that detract from a smile. Crooked teeth, cavities, brown fillings in front teeth, you know, bleeding gums, that sort of thing. And so we were getting ready to talk about what makes us a perfect smile a perfect smile, or a pretty smile a pretty smile. Okay, one thing is, when you smile, and you just do a normal smile, not the kind, you know, if you're going to do this in the mirror, not the kind where you put your teeth together and grin, that's not it. It's just a smile like somebody came up and kind of, you know, told you a joke or tickled you when you weren't planning on laughing. Your lower lip creates this curvature, and the biting edges of the upper teeth should be that same curvature. So parallel, two parallel kind of curved lines that point up, like you would see in a smiley face. Your lips and your bottom, the bottom lip and the bottom edge of the upper teeth. The other is the upper lip has to lay at the top of the teeth where the top teeth come to the gum line. And then the other is, there's one more, well, there's a couple more. There's a proportion that we have to satisfy to give a person this perfect smile. And what that is your cuspid teeth, the part of the teeth that you see, needs to be, like you need to see about the width of that. The width of the cuspid should be about 75% of the width of the lateral incisors. And the width of the lateral incisors needs to be about 75% of the width of the front teeth. Also, your cuspids, from right to left, need to be positioned between what's called the ala of your nose, or your nostrils. If you look at your nostrils, look in the mirror, and you draw a line straight down, you should have that line hitting right on the cuspids. And so what that does then is it keeps everything in proportion for you. And then, of course, you have to have the teeth kind of tipped in the right direction, you know, angled straight up and down. You can't have them, you know, leaning to the right, leaning to the left. You can't have them tipped back towards the palate or out towards the lip. Everything has to be aligned, which is what orthodontists do, of course. And in addition to that, they should be white, okay? Because straight brown teeth, that doesn't really cut it either. And you know, it just, when your smile is bright, it just kind of lights up the room. So, all right, remember, 821-1230 is the number. Jen, you're on 1230 WYTS. What's your question, please?
Hi. I don't understand when you have these tooth-colored fillings in the front.
Yes.
What makes them discolor? What causes that? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's not real tooth. So shouldn't they be made of something that's not going to change color?
Well, actually, that's a very good question. And the filling itself is a plastic material. It is something that was developed, you know, many, many years ago to kind of satisfy that need front teeth fillings, who you might remember in days way gone by, you would see people that had a like a gold frame around a front tooth. And the reason they did the gold frames, or we did the gold frames, was because there was no material for front teeth that was tooth-colored. So if somebody had a cavity on a front tooth, kind of a three-quarter gold crown was placed, and they tried to keep as much of the white color as possible still being visible. But way back in the, I guess I'm going to say like 60s, late 60s or so, silicate restorations came about, and silicate was something that was able to be tooth-colored, and but it didn't wear very well. The mouth is a very caustic environment, very caustic, and not a lot of things would withstand the environment of the mouth. The mouth is 98.6 degrees, it's dark, it's moist. We're constantly putting acids in there, we're constantly putting different, you know, crunchy foods, things that cause physical wear. And so over the years, dental materials have developed and evolved, and we've tried to come up with materials that will better be better sustained in the mouth. But so silicates basically washed away, they absorbed the colors of the foods and turned dark quickly. The next thing that came out was composite resin. And it's more of a plastic. And in fact, the composites, you hear that word when you hear how airplanes, the stealth bomber you talk about, is made out of composite. It's very, very strong. It's kind of, they take carbon fibers and wrap this composite. In their case, they use black, but in our case, we have different shades that we can use. And so it's pretty good stuff, but it still doesn't hold up in the mouth over the long haul. It's still porous, therefore it allows it to absorb colors from foods much, much more quickly than the enamel will. And by the way, enamel does absorb the colors from the food. That's why our teeth turn dark as we get older. And they had little pores in them that if you look at under an electron microscope, you'll see what looks like a little honeycomb. And so composite resin then is, and it's been improved over the years. It's a little better now than it was before, and there are these sealers that we can put on them the day that we place them to try to prevent and try to seal up the pores and prevent the darkening from happening as quickly. But there is still no tooth-colored filling. That it can be, you know, and a filling, of course, can be done more cheaply than, say, a porcelain crown or a veneer. It also, you don't always need a veneer or a crown. So if it's just a small cavity, you wouldn't want to jump in and do a veneer or a crown. But it's a very good question.
So it's not really that you do have a cavity necessarily.
No, not at all. We can take an x-ray, we can look at the edges or the margins of the tooth and filling and see whether there's actual decay there or not. And in most cases, there's no decay. The tooth is fine, the filling has still sealed the area and prevented decay, but it's no longer the color of your teeth. And you know what else? There's something I should probably point out here, is that when you have these fillings, there's no way for you to know if it's a cavity or not, and so you do need to have it checked, so that's a very good thing. But the other is, if you're considering getting your teeth whitened, these fillings will not change color from the bleaching alone. The teeth will change colors because basically the teeth have darkened because of the material that gets stuck in the pores. But the fillings themselves were fabricated to be a certain color, and although they stain a little bit, they'll only go back to their original color, and they will not ever become as white as your teeth have become. So, you know, that there's like two aspects of that. Anyway, that's a very good question, and I appreciate the call. Your calls are welcome at 821-1230. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the things that we can do to improve a person's smile. You're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our broadcast is available on demand by podcast at www.talk1230wyts.com, and we'll be back after the break. Talk 1230 WYTS, this is Dr. Kvitko. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. If you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 821-1230. Today we're talking about teeth and how our teeth and our smile help us with our sex appeal, basically. How do we relate to the rest of the world? And how does the rest of the world kind of view us? And, you know, earlier we were talking about how if you have Billy Bob teeth, and there are some people out there that do, if you were to get that corrected, go in and, you know, come into my office for that matter. We can change a person's life by improving their smile. And it doesn't always have to be a full makeover. Sometimes it can be whitening. Sometimes it can be, to be honest, if periodontal disease is so bad, sometimes people have to lose their teeth. And we can make them dentures that have a very, very nice, attractive look. Okay, so what goes into a perfect smile or a pleasant smile? We talked about teeth needing to be white. It used to be the only people that had these white teeth were either the Hollywood celebrities. And if your teeth were too white, people thought you had dentures if you weren't a Hollywood celebrity. Not anymore. Now, because of bleaching, anybody can have white teeth. And in fact, in the industry, we've had to come up with about 4 or 5 shades that are whiter than we could ever, ever offer people in the past. So white teeth, that's a big one. The other is gaps, closing gaps, gum contouring. Here's something that people don't think about. Now, you've seen people that have a gummy smile. You know, if you smile and you see, you don't see the whole tooth because it's covered by gums. And in fact, for those of you American Idol watchers, Chakizzy, take a look at Chakizzy on Tuesday. When he smiles, you only see the bottom half of his 2 front teeth. And I've looked at that, of course. I tend to do that, as you would expect. In looking at him, what I've noticed is his lip droops, and it covers those 2 front teeth. He may need a little procedure to kind of remove some excess tissue so that when he smiles, you can see that everything that I talked about, the top of the lip or the bottom of the lip needs to be at the top of the gum line of those upper front teeth. You know, so what happens is people don't even realize when they're looking at a smile what it is they don't like about it. They just know when they see when they like. So what we do is sometimes it's a matter of raising the gum line, which means removing a little bit of tissue. It's done very quickly and simply, and we use a laser. You're numb, so you don't feel it. To sculpt the gum tissue to create that beautiful smile. Some of you already know that I do a lot of smile makeovers, and I'm not trying to scare anybody. I know that, you know, that can, you say those words and people shudder, but no, it's very simple. You're numb. And then the other is, sometimes we have to put gum over the tooth, or the top of the tooth, the root, because if your gums have receded, and you smile and you see teeth that go all the way up, instead of gum where you should see gum, that's not a pleasant look either. Now, okay, so we have the gum line, and how important that is. Now, what about the people that have already lost back teeth, or they've already lost the front tooth, for that matter? You have to have a full complement of teeth in order to have a great smile. And if you've already lost a tooth, your choices are 3. Either a bridge, a removable partial denture, or an implant and an implant crown. If you've lost a tooth recently, or let's put it this way, the sooner you get in and have somebody check, have me check or whomever, to see if you have enough bone for an implant, the better. Not that we can't do it later. But as we mentioned earlier, later you're going to need, most likely, some surgery to provide enough bone for an implant. But let's say that you've already lost your back teeth, you either don't have enough bone, or you don't want implants, or can't afford implants, and you're going to have to wear a removable partial denture. Now, for some of you that don't really know what that is, it's the, think of it like our grandparents used to wear. It has some teeth on it, some metal clips that kind of clip onto the teeth, and they are actually very visible. Very hard to have an attractive smile if when you smile you see these metal prongs. But, hey, it's better than no teeth back there. There are ways of hiding the prongs, either coating them with white, which looks okay but still never the best. And then there are ways of making these partials that don't have the clips, and they're hidden. It's called a Sika attachment or an ERA attachment. These are names you can write down and ask your dentist or ask us if you call us. And what that does then is there's a cap or a crown that goes on the tooth that's going to hold your partial. And built into that cap, already fabricated, already placed in there, is this little ring. And that is always part of the crown. And then your partial has a little snap that snaps into that ring. It's completely hidden by a tooth. So that's going to allow you to have that really nice smile, even though maybe the only part of your smile that are your own natural teeth might be the front six, or maybe four out of the front six. So what we're going to do is go into a little bit more of the kinds of things that we can use to give you that great smile. Your phone calls are welcome at 821-1230. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to give us a call. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Talk 1230 WYTS. This is Dr. Brian Kvitko. I'm a general dentist here in Columbus, Ohio. And we're talking about smile, perfect smile, how our smile helps us, how our teeth help us with being healthy and being able to speak correctly, and how we relate to others. And so we've been talking about what it takes to have that great smile. Your phone calls are welcome at 821-1230, and you can send us an email at dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. So, before the break, we were covering the notion that we wanted to make sure the gums are just right, that the there are no gaps. And one of the things that is you hear a lot about, and we're talking about partials and the kind of partials that we can make for people that don't have all of their teeth. But before we run out of time here for the day, I want to talk about veneers. There's so much you hear these days about veneers, and we'll probably talk about them more on future shows. But and you also hear about this word called Lumineer. Just so that you know, Lumineer is a brand name. It's a brand name of a veneer. And a company out of California has done a very good job of getting the word out that they offer this product. And their claim to fame is that they're very thin. And what they propose is that you can place veneers over people's teeth without touching the teeth first. And although that can be done in some cases, it's not something that can be done very often. And so we get a lot of calls where people say, I want those Lumineers. And what we have to explain to them is you need to come in first. Let us take a look. Let us decide if that is for you. Because if it is, sure, we'll be happy to do Lumineers. But if it's not, you need to understand that, let's put it this way. Why would somebody say, I just want those Lumineers? Because they're probably nervous about having their teeth touched. They're probably a nervous dental patient to begin with. They want that great smile, but they're not sure they can sit in the dental chair and have it done. Of course, in previous shows, we've talked about how at our office we do things like oral sedation, IV sedation, ways to make people comfortable and help them get through their dental appointments. But until you've actually come in and tried it, you're probably not going to believe me, and I understand that. So I do my best to, get people to at least make the call. So if you call and our office or some office says, well, you know, we can't promise you Lumineers, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go. Still, go in, have your appointment, and look. Because here's what happens. If you insist on Lumineers and you're not a good candidate, you're going to look worse than if you hadn't had them done almost. Your teeth are going to look bulky. In fact, I got a call from somebody who said, you know, ever since I had my veneers placed, I have buck teeth. They look awful. Everybody knows that I've had them done. There's this, where the Lumineers start, you know, they don't look the same as the natural teeth that we didn't do. And that was not the Lumineers' fault. It was the case selection. The patient maybe was too persistent and the dentist kind of gave in or whatever. So, veneers, though, can be used in cases where the teeth are slightly crooked. But if it's too crooked, if they're too crooked, even veneers aren't the way to go. Then you would need porcelain crowns. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you want that great smile, and you understand and you agree with the research that says people will respond to you in a different way, better way, if you are more attractive, if you have an attractive smile, then, you know, give us a call or go to your dentist and have it looked into. But don't come with this preconceived notion of, okay, well, I'm just going to get my teeth whitened. I think that'll be enough. Or I'm just going to get those Lumineers. Come in, let us take some photographs, let us do some models, we'll do an exam. Of course, your teeth need to be healthy, but we want, you know, give us the latitude to sit down and make those recommendations for you. Because to me, cosmetic dentistry is this. You leave the office with this gorgeous smile, and people compliment you on your smile, not on your great dentistry. Okay? So if you've had cosmetic dentistry done, you don't want people to know it. You just want them to compliment you on your smile. All right? You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry but Were Too Numb to Ask. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in next week, and don't forget to brush off all of that green stuff that you ate last night for...